Tithe and offering. Who would like an envelope? Matthew, verse 6, starting in verse 31. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall you eat, what shall you drink, or what shall you wear? For after all of these things, Gentiles seek. Gentiles is a term that is used for those that aren't part of the covenant of God. Those that are not part of the covenant of God. For all of these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Kind of tacks that on to the end. He says, don't worry about it. He starts in the beginning, ends with at the end. Don't worry about it. And here's an interesting little thought that I had. Israel was a nation that God took out of all the people of the world, of all the tribes, of all the people groups. He took them. And He says, I will make a nation for My name. All the other gods had their own people, but He had no people. And He says, I will take a people. And that's where the nation of Israel comes in. The nation of Israel is unique among the nations of the world in that God chose them out of all of them to reveal Himself. He said, I am their God. And when they were in need, He provided for them. You know, if you read through and you start thinking about and looking at what happened when God brought them out of Egypt and how often they rebelled against God, even though He revealed Himself as God to them, and He still provided. He still took care of. And sometimes we think that if we make a mistake, God's not going to care for us. If we're in covenant with God, then we are in covenant with God. We're His people. We're not. We need to not identify as anything else other than that we belong to the kingdom of God. We are now a unique people among this world, in that we are the nation of God. We are the one in whom God has revealed Himself to. We are the ones that worship Him in spirit and in truth. And if we have that covenant, He says, don't worry, saying, what shall you eat, or what shall you drink, or what shall you wear? For after these things, the Gentile, the unbelievers, those not in covenant with God, seek. But your heavenly Father knows what you need. Seek first His kingdom. And His righteousness. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Seek to glorify and magnify Him. Seek to honor His name. Seek that His name should receive a good testimony because of your life. And all these things will be added. They will be added. We a lot of times we strive and we think that, well, I'm not good enough. God can't provide. I did this wrong. I did that wrong. But God provides. He provides. He wants to provide. He wants to bless you. He wants you to prosper. He's more desirous that you should prosper than you are to prosper. You think about that for a minute. God wants you to have so much that your storehouse can't contain it. But often we get in the way. And we don't think God can do it. Well, I'm just not good enough. I'm just not righteous enough. I'm not holy enough. I didn't spend enough time praying today. I didn't read my Bible for the last 5 days. Well, it's not true. I actually did. But I didn't read my daily readings probably for the last 5 days. But that's not unusual. I end up doing them in huge chunks because I'm usually reading all kinds of stuff. But God wants to It's like you look at how he treated the nation of Israel and how arrogant and prideful and sinful they were. But yet he forgave them and still provided for them. Jesus' whole point was to pay for our sins. It was to pay for our sins. What is sin? Error. All of our errors are taken care of in Christ. Past, present, and future. What you did do, what you are doing, and what you will do is taken care of by the blood. Sin is not an issue. Your faith is the issue. Believe in God. Trust in Him. Believe in Him. I know it's not easy. It's easy to doubt. It's easy to I don't know. I haven't seen him in a while, but you guys remember Murphy's Laws? The older people are going to remember this. The old Murphy's Law. It's easy to believe in Murphy's Law. You know, what can go wrong will go wrong. You know, that is the crux of the Murphy's Law. It's easy to believe that. It's easy to see that way. It's not easy to say, my God shall supply all of my needs according to His riches and glory. But you don't have two pennies to rub together. Doesn't matter. My God is well able to. It's like, oh, you're riddled with cancer. You can't, my God can heal me. But how can you? You're going to die in a week. My God is well able. Can we? I know it's not easy. But can we continue to stand and believe? That's why we need each other. Because we are unique in this world. And that we're of people of faith. You will not get faith in this world. But you will get it in the kingdom. What is it that you need? The King provides. It's His kingdom. You're His subjects. He'll provide. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You that You take care of us, that You are good, that You said we don't need to worry about it, but that You would provide for us. Help us to seek Your kingdom and Your righteousness, that we can be in agreement with You and that we cannot be standing in the way of what You're wanting to do in our lives, that You can cause us to prosper and to be blessed so that we can be a blessing to those in the world and show forth Your glory, Your honor, and Your majesty and Your might, power, and dominion. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I get to talk about two of my favorite subjects, religion and politics. Yeah! The title I have for today's sermon is Voting for the Kingdom. Voting for the Kingdom. When we become believers, it's not just that we're choosing to say, yep, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but we're making a declaration. We're making a statement to say that Jesus is the Son of God and all that entails, that He is the rightful ruler and heir to all of humanity, that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and He has authority over everything that belongs to God. In Colossians 1:13, it says, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That we are conveyed from this world, the power of darkness, the oppressiveness, the deceit, the deceptions, the vile perversions that are in this world, the just filth and destruction that is all around us. He has taken us out of that and given us into the kingdom of His dear Son. His Son. That we are now part of His kingdom. He is the King of Kings. That's part of what Messiah meant. The chosen of God. The chosen what of God? The chosen leader, the chosen one, the one that was anointed. There were only three people that are anointed in the Old Testament. the priest, the prophet, and the king. Those are the only ones that are anointed. Jesus is the Son of God, the heir to the throne of King David. He is king. He is righteousness personified in the form that he has never sinned nor been disobedient to God, and has the right to minister before God because he has never once been imperfect in any way, and therefore is the only person alive that has any right to go into the holies of holies without fear of retribution from the presence of God. He is a priest ministering before God. He is anointed. And he is the one that has spoken the word of God faithfully, without error, without dissemination, without confusion. He said, what I see or what I hear the Father doing, that is what I do. Which is the very definition of what a prophet is one that forth speaks for a deity. He was a prophet anointed of God. He is trifecta anointed of God to be the ruling potentate of his kingdom. And he is the one that we choose to serve under. He is the one in whose kingdom we belong. It says in Matthew 13:11, and he answered them and says, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. It is to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. You can't explain it to the world. The world won't understand it. The mystery of the kingdom is not meant to be explained to the world. They can't understand it. Jesus said, you can't see the kingdom. You can't understand the kingdom unless you're born again. And it is fruitless and pointless to try to explain kingdom things to someone who has not received Jesus as Lord and Savior, because they don't have eyes to see. They're still walking in darkness. They can't see it. They need to know Jesus. They need to see Jesus. They need to see him through you, through me, through the church, in order to realize that he is the anointed one of God. And they see him through how we behave, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's what it's talking about, that he sees Jesus through us. But it is for us to know the kingdom of heaven. The world doesn't understand it, and they're not going to. Forgive and it will, you know, forgive and you will be forgiven. How does that even make sense in a worldly concept? It doesn't. Give and it will be given. What? Give? If I give money, then I will get money. If I give compassion and love, then I'll get compassion and love. That makes no sense. It's because they don't understand the kingdom. They live in this world. But for us, it is to know the things of the kingdom. You know, and here's Jesus on the earth preaching the will of God, Matthew 4:23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And healing all kinds of sickness, disease among them. He preached the kingdom and he healed their diseases. What was it that he preached? That he's the king, that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is now. The kingdom of God is here. Let me show you. And he healed people. He says, I've come that you might have life and life abundantly. I've come that you might have life and life abundantly. The enemy comes but not to steal, kill, and destroy. That you're seeing the two sides of it. This is the kingdom of this world. Death, destruction, violence, perversion. This is the kingdom of the world. Here's the kingdom of God. Here's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Health and life. This is the kingdom of God. That's the kingdom of the world. This is the kingdom of God. We are in the kingdom of God. We are heirs to that kingdom. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him. We are heirs. This is absolutely stunning and amazing that we have become heirs. We know where we came from. We know what we've done in our life. We know what we have a propensity to do right now, and we know what we fear we'll do in the future. But He has still made us heirs. The Spirit within us cries out, Abba, Father. That we are adopted. We are new. But it's not, we're not heirs, and then, yeah, okay, you're heirs. Or you're adopted, but you're not an heir. You're not in the line of succession to rule in the kingdom. But what He's saying, what God is saying, is yes, you are adopted, but you are in the lineage. You will rule and reign in My kingdom. You will be in a position of authority and power in My kingdom. Even knowing where we came from, He did that. Because He believes in us. He knows the seed that has been placed within us is greater than what we have gone through in this world. It has the power to transform, to overcome, to remake, renew, revitalize, and empower us to become the sons of God. And if we choose to stand with that seed, if we choose to agree with it, there is nothing in this earth that can stop it. There is nothing that the devil has. There is no power on earth, in earth, or under it, that can stop the will of God in our life if we choose to hold to Him. But it says, indeed, if we suffer with Him, then we may also be glorified together. If we suffer with Him, if we choose to acknowledge with Him. You know, in a sense, we do see something, an illustration of this in today's day and age. And I'll give you an example. Be a Trump supporter in a liberal environment. You will suffer with Trump. You will suffer with his ideology, because you're choosing to stand with him. You're suffering for them. Look at the violence that we've seen happen to people who are wearing Make America Great Again hats. Look at the violence that people are being forced to endure because they have a Trump sticker, or they have a Trump flag, or they have a Trump sign out in their yard, and the violence and the vandalism that's happening because they're choosing to identify with an individual, with what they believe in. They are suffering with Trump. In the same way, we suffer with Christ because we choose to identify with Him. We choose to be reviled and belittled and humiliated and thought less of because we're weird and we're crazy and that they don't understand us. And if we stand with Him, we will be glorified with Him. That's what He's saying. That we are in His kingdom. But this kingdom is not in this world. It's not in this world. And Jesus answered, John 18:36. He says, My kingdom is not of this world. This is what Jesus is saying. My kingdom, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. His kingdom, he says, my kingdom is not from here. His kingdom is from there. Heaven, the throne room of God, is where His kingdom resides. That's where His kingdom starts. And when we begin to be born again, we are now citizens of heaven living on earth. His kingdom is not of this earth, but we as His subjects are His kingdom in the earth. And when it says your kingdom, when He says we need to pray, your kingdom come and your will be done, that's talking about us. It's talking about us in this world. It's talking about us being in subjection to what He's wanting to do. His kingdom is heaven. When He commands, it's done. We can't make the same statement in earth. We see a lot of times when God makes a command and men says, I will not. But God is looking for those who will worship Him in spirit and truth. And that means that when God says, I want this, you say, yes, Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I surrender to you. Then His kingdom begins to be established right where you are, right in that moment, because you're surrendering to His lordship as king and as the one who has the wisdom and the knowledge and the right to make such a decision. And you say, I trust your wisdom, I trust your leadings, I trust your guidance in this, and I will do as you ask. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. We don't wrestle against people. We wrestle against the demonic powers, the demonic forces, the fleshly forces that are arrayed in this world who have rebelled against God, because that is the seed that is in this world. The kingdom of darkness is birthed out of rebellion, a rebellion to God. And it will always and forever be in opposition and contrary to God's will. Whenever God says, I want this to happen, the world will stand up and say, we will not. And we need to be those people who said, but we will. You know, when Jesus said that they were saying, he was the triumphal entry. Jesus is entering into the Jerusalem as the king. He's being proclaimed. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they said, silence them, silence them. And Jesus said, if I was to make them silence, the rocks themselves would cry out. Why? Because he was fulfilling prophecy. He was fulfilling the very word of God. And because it was the word of God, because it was spoken, something would have to perform it. And if it wouldn't be the people, it would be the rocks. Because the will of God will be accomplished because God spoke it. But there were people that were willing. They were willing to cry out, willing to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, proclaiming that Jesus was the Messiah, fulfilling the scripture. And he still finds people all throughout the world. You are among them. That when Jesus speaks, we say, yes, Lord, and we do it. That way the rocks don't have to cry out. Though it would be cool, I'd rather have people speak and declare the goodness of God. We don't wrestle against the things of this world. You know, we have to make decisions. We live in this world, but we're not of it. We are not of the kingdoms of this world. There's Joshua 5. If you look at Joshua 5, 13 and 14, here's Joshua looking at Jericho, and he's standing there, and he's thinking, God, you told us to take the land, and we're going to take the land. We're going to take this city. How do we do it? How do we take this city? This city has never fallen. It's never been defeated. How are we going to take this city? This city had massive walls, which is why it had never been taken. You couldn't break through those walls. There was no way. I don't know that. I heard some statistics long ago, but they were thick walls. I mean, they had buildings built alongside the wall. They were big. And so he's standing there, and then he sees an angel of God, and he says, I will read it to you. And it came to pass that when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or our adversaries? And he said, no, but as the commander of the armies of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped him and said, what does my Lord say to his servant? You know, we have a decision that needs to be made next week. And that's who's going to be president. Are we going to vote for a Democratic president, or are we going to vote for a Republican president? Are we going to vote for Trump, or are we going to vote for Joe Biden? And this is a question that a lot of people have. And there's debates. And, you know, there's there's those that will say, I don't know why any Christian would vote for Joe Biden. And then we've got others that say, I don't know why any Christian would vote for Trump. And you may not think that it's a problem. It is. There's a lot of people that don't know what to do and what's right. My hope is to help you make that decision. Not make it for you, but help you make it. And one of these things is God is not for Democrats or for Republicans. God is for the kingdom of heaven. He is the King of Kings. We are citizens in that kingdom. We have dual citizenship. We have a heavenly citizenship and we have an earthly citizenship. Our earthly citizenship makes us, I don't think there's any immigrants. Is there anyone who's not an American citizen? We are all American citizens. You belong in the nation of the United States. You are an American citizen. And you have every right that is accorded to you by the Constitution and the laws of the United States. One of those brilliant laws is that we get to vote for who's in charge. But we have to make that decision. We have to decide, do we want this or do we want that? And we have to look. I have a party affiliation. I'll be honest, I do. I'm not going to tell you. You could probably guess. But I have a party affiliation because I agree with their ideas and philosophies. I agree with what they stand for. However, there are individuals who I can't support that are part of that party. Because of various reasons, I can't support them. Because even though they agree with me ideologically in government, in politics, there are some things that I cannot support as a Christian. As a citizen of heaven, I have to make decisions based on what's best for my king. Seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. That's what we're talking about. His kingdom and his righteousness. We want to see his kingdom go forward. We want to see his righteousness go forward. Therefore, we have to be examples. We are not voting. We're not voting for religious leaders. Okay? We're not voting for religious leaders. They don't have to adhere to the biblical standards of leaders within the body of Christ. Their morality, their righteousness is not an issue in a sense of their qualification. Because it's not strictly necessary. It's good. I mean, you want somebody who's going to be a man of their word. You want somebody who's going to make good and righteous decisions. But the reality is we're dealing in a worldly system. We're not always going to be given that opportunity. But as much as based upon our ability, we choose righteousness. We choose goodness. We choose justice. We choose character. We try to do the best that we can. You know, a lot of us don't get deeply involved in politics. But there are some of our brothers and sisters who are deeply involved in it. They're involved in the caucus levels and they're involved in the grassroots level of the local communities of Republicans and Democrats. And they're trying to bring forth leaders, or they should be trying to bring forth leaders of good, righteous character. But we're not always going to get that. This is the decision that we have laid before us. All the people on the ballot right now, this is our choice, and we have to make a decision based on that. And the best way to make that decision is who is going to support the best relationship with our king and our kingdom? Who's going to give us freedom and liberty to proclaim the kingdom of God? Who's going to give us freedom and liberty to declare how good our God is and not subject us and not come after us and not shut us down? Because we want to have freedom. Because one of the things that our king has asked us to do is to proclaim the kingdom. To declare the goodness of God. To proclaim Christ and Him crucified. And if we have somebody who's in office who's up for vote, and they have shown that they do not love our kingdom and our king, and that they have decided that they are trying to shut us down at every opportunity, then they don't deserve our vote. Because this is about our kingdom. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of our Lord God. It's about His kingdom. And we want to give our brothers and sisters freedom to be able to proclaim, to go out and share the love of God, to lay hands on the sick and see them recovered, and not lay hands on the sick, see them recover, and be thrown in jail. We have countries all over the world that do that. There are some countries, if you pray for somebody in the name of Jesus, you will be beheaded. If you proclaim the name of Jesus, you will be beheaded. Sold into slavery. Our kingdom is not that way. The United States does not believe in that as of yet. And we need to fight to keep it that way. We need to vote for those people who are going to allow religious freedom, who are going to allow people to speak what they believe, even if we disagree with it. Because the reality is we should never fear somebody speaking their religion, speaking their faith. We should challenge it. Because the reality is that Jesus, or God, not Jesus, yeah, God, Jesus, God, in the Old Testament, through Elijah, said, why don't you bring the prophets of Baal? You pray to your God, and you will see if he'll answer by fire, and I'll pray to my God, and we'll see who wins. We should never be afraid of a competition between our God and their God, because we will win. We know we will win because they have no power and we do. Okay. We need to make good decisions for our Father and our brothers and sisters, our Father God and our brothers and sisters all throughout this world. John 7:24 says, do not judge according to appearances, but judge with righteous judgment. Judge with righteous judgment. 1 Corinthians 6:2-3. Turn there. Underline it. Highlight it. 1 Corinthians 6:2-3. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? If the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge in the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things pertaining to life? We need to make a judgment. We need to judge. We need to take a look at. We need to compare, contrast, look at the ideas of these candidates and make a decision based upon our beliefs, based upon the kingdom of God, based upon our love for our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and say, who is it that's going to further the kingdom more? Who is it that's going to support the kingdom better? Who is it that's more likely to bring about the will of God? These are the questions we have to ask. And it says that we are going to have to judge angels. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, how in the world am I going to judge an angel? Where do I have the right to do that? But he's telling us that we do. We were going to have the right to judge angels. That's astounding. We need to make righteous judgments. You have the Spirit of God in you. The Spirit of God will lead us and guide us into truth. We can trust Him to show us the right thing, to help us to understand what needs to happen here. But we need to trust Him, because sometimes we don't want to make that decision. Sometimes that's not the button we want to push. Sometimes we're like, I really like the other guy better. He's nicer. We need to make judgments. Make judgments based on the kingdom. Governments are complicated. The governmental systems of this world are complicated. They're convoluted. Sometimes they make absolutely no sense whatsoever. It's like, I have a pretty good grasp of how the governmental system in the United States works. Pretty good. I've been paying attention to politics for a long time. I'm not an expert. I'm just kind of a novice. You know, I just kind of pay attention to it and listen to other people who are experts and pick up things. But if I go over into the United Kingdom, I have about this much understanding of how their system works. I go to Russia, I have no understanding how that works. It's just like governmental systems are complicated. And we don't understand everything. But you know what's great? Is we have brothers and sisters all over this world who do. They understand the system. They've been in the system. God has moved them in such a way that they've been fascinated and interested in government all of their life. And so they've pursued it. They're in it. And they're part of it. They understand how it works. And we have brothers and sisters all over the world that know how the systems work. And we can trust their judgments and their insights in things. And when they say, well, I understand what they're saying, but really what's going on is this, this, and this. Because God has given them wisdom in government. This is like, we don't necessarily need to understand everything. But we can trust in brothers and sisters whom the Spirit of God is in, that they can give us the information that we need to make good decisions. So we need to trust in the Spirit of God to help us make the decision. We trust in the Word of God to help us make the decision. And we can trust in one another, those people who have studied, have known, are knowledgeable about government, to help us to understand what's going on. This is how we can make decisions for the kingdom. Good decisions. Right decisions. Matthew 12:22 says, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. Most of the time that is used when talking about the devil, because he was referencing the devil. But really, he was saying the devil's not divided. And he's giving us a warning. The kingdom can't be divided. If the kingdom's divided, it can't stand. Why do churches not succeed? Why do they not go forward? And a lot of times, the answer is quite simple. They're not unified. They're divided. And when a house is divided, it can't stand. It doesn't succeed. It doesn't go forward. The only hope that we have of going forward in the kingdom, the only hope that we have of seeing the miraculous, wonder-working power of God is for us to be united in Christ. In the kingdom of God, for what He wants to do. Here for us personally. We need to be united. Because if we're divided, we won't stand. We won't stand. You know, we have all heard about church splits. You know, there's also church degradation where it just disintegrates, and there's churches that fall apart, and there's all kinds of things that can happen within a church that all boil down to division. And division is created by strife and contention. Where there's strife and contention, there is every evil work. We need to be united in Christ. We need to be united in His kingdom. We need to walk in love towards one another. There is grace in the house of God. There's grace in the house of God. For it is by grace that we are saved, not of works, lest anyone should boast. There is grace in the house of God. 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 No condemnation in Christ Jesus. There is grace in the house of God. We are arrogant, prideful, and self-willed if we think that we're better than anyone else. And God will resist us. There is grace in the house of God. There is grace here. No matter what we've done in our past, we all have the grace of God, because it is by grace that we are saved. And if we ever get to the point where we think, well, it's by my righteousness that God loves me, you're a fool. You've stopped believing the grace of God, and you've begun works, and you've left the precious gift of God, which is His grace. It's not by works. It's not by the things that we've done. It's not by who we voted for that gets us into heaven. It's the grace of God. It's loving God. Voting is not a heaven and hell issue. Voting is not a heaven and hell issue. It is an issue of us voting what we believe is right. And we need to vote based on what we feel is the, what we believe in our heart is the right thing to do. Because that which is not of faith is sin. And if out of the faith in our heart, we make a decision as best as we know how to, even if it is wrong, God will honor it, knowing that it was our best intention. It was our best intention towards it. That doesn't mean that we don't live the consequences of bad decisions. I've made bad decisions that I believed earnestly with my whole heart were the right thing to do, and I had to suffer the consequences because I was stupid, plain and simple. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. In Romans 14, it talks about eating meat. It talks about eating meat, specifically the first part of that chapter. It's, and during that time period, there were most meat was sacrificed to an idol before it was sold. Most meat, not all. So it would be sacrificed, it would be cooked, and then it would be given to the people, or however the sacrifice worked back then. So it was sacrificed. And you know, as Christians, we believe that all the gods of this world were demons. So it was sacrificed to demonic forces. And there were those believers that said, you cannot partake of anything that has to do with a sacrifice to these demons, or you will partake of what that demonic force has. You then become under its power because you've partaken and eaten of something sacrificed to that idol. And there's others that say, you know what? They're just demons and they have no power and authority over me. I am not going to be afraid to eat food that God made, that God Himself made for me to partake of and to enjoy. I'm not going to worry about that demon. I have power and authority over him. And there was conflict within the church. They were fighting over one another. And there were factions and divisions. And Paul was saying, stop it. If my brother says we can't eat meat and it offends him to eat meat, then I will not eat meat. For his sake, I won't do it. For his faith, I won't do it. I mean, I like to modify it and say, I'm not going to do it around them. I'm not nearly as righteous as Paul. But there is a reality. And he says, those of you who are afraid of eating meat and believe that it's wrong, don't you dare judge your brother because they eat it. Don't you dare declare that they have no part in Christ because they've eaten meat, which is some of what they would do. Well, then you've gone over to idols. You're worshiping the idols of this world because you're partaking of their meat. And there was this conflict within them. There is grace in the house of God. We all come to this by grace. Verse 4 says this. Who are you to judge another one's servant? Who are you to judge another man's servant? To his master he stands or falls. Indeed, he will be made to stand, for God can make him stand. Who are you to judge? Who are we to judge? Who am I to judge somebody who votes for Biden? If I know of another brother in the Lord who votes for Biden or votes for Trump, who am I to say whether they are right or wrong? Who am I? They have to answer to God. And if God is good, And if it's fine, then God accepts them and he can make them to stand. If it was, you know, if they were rebelling against God and doing their own thing, then they have to answer to God. You don't have to be their conscience. They have their own conscience. And the Holy Spirit is able. You love them. You care for them. You bless them. Because in loving and blessing them, we empower the Holy Spirit to get a better hold on them. We don't have to judge them. Just love them. It's probably the worst thing we can do for them if they're in rebellion. Because that'll just pick at them and pick at them and pick at them. Because the love of God, the love of God, the love of God draws men to repentance. First Corinthians 3:14. Each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. The decisions that we make in life, the things that we decide to do. Before that, he says that each one builds. We either build with wood, hay, or stubble, precious stone, gold, and silver. He says, we don't build on a new foundation. There's one foundation, that's Christ. We all believers, build on a foundation called Christ. But what do we build with? What are we using? What's the material? Is it earthly or is it heavenly? Is it going to stand the test of time or is it going to be consumed? That's what he's talking about. We all build our lives. We build our families. We build our churches. Everything that we do, we build. But all of it will be tested. Every church is tested. Every believer is tested. Every family is tested. Every country is tested. We're all tested. But what is it that we're made of? What is it that we build with? When we've built with foolishness, if we built with bad decisions, if we've built with worldly and earthly things, it will be consumed and destroyed. But if we build with heavenly things, if we build with godly things, it will endure. It will endure through the generations. We all have decisions to make. We have before us an election that is, I think, pivotal. I think that this election will determine the course of our nation for the next generation, probably. We are building. We're building here with our nation, and we have to decide, what is it that God would have us to build with? What is it that will endure through the generations and last and stand the test of time? We need to make that decision because we love America. Because we love this nation in which we live. Because we love the people that are around us. And we have a hope and an expectation that they will come to the point and the knowledge of knowing Jesus. And we want to have that opportunity to declare that and show forth that love of God. But within the family, our King has given us a commandment. And that commandment is to love one another. That in all things that we love one another, regardless of the decisions that are made. In love, there is no room for hatred. There's no room for hatred when we love. Love, perfect love. You cannot hate with perfect love. Perfect love surrenders itself for the benefit of others. And we need to be loving and kind to one another, regardless of decisions that we make in the political realm. There is no disunity within the body of Christ when it comes to political decisions made in this world. There is no division that has its right to stand in the kingdom. Because we have a direct mandate from Jesus himself to love one another, regardless of decisions that the other has made. If they belong in Christ, if they are a brother and sister, we love them as Christ loved us. You are blessed. You are blessed to know the living God. You are blessed to be in His kingdom. You're blessed to share in His magnificence and His glory and His majesty. That He is willing to share with you, His brothers and sisters, joint heirs with Him in this world. And He wants the kingdom to grow. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for wisdom and insight. Lord, that you help us to make decisions that will advance the kingdom in this world. During this political season, Lord, help us to make decisions for your kingdom. Decisions that will cause your kingdom to advance in this world and cause this nation to be free, to be blessed, and to be prosperous, that they can see the goodness of God. Lord, we love you and we exalt you and we thank you for everything that you've done for us. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, have a wonderful week. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, for your God is with you, regardless of what the outcome is.